Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord!
Listen to the words of this song, Rescue the Perishing, reading the third stanza. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. To read today from Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, "Some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Argos, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then stood Paul in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar unto thee with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks for what we have read. We know that what Paul knew was true. Also what he felt when his spirit was wholly stirred in him. That he had even that spirit of thee, Lord Jesus. And as thou hast said of him, that he is thy witness. We pray that that may also be the spirit in the church today. And where it is not, that it may be revived. That we may again know the way of Paul, that we may know it ourselves first, that we might then make it known to others. And Father, where it is known, we pray that it might be blessed, that thy word might be mightily blessed today, where it is purely preached, where it is known and experienced by those who preach it. We pray also that there might be many more laborers called to go into the fields which are white under the harvest and where the laborers are few. We pray, Father, for thy blessing also in other ways. We think of those in suffering in the earthquakes. Thou hast said that there would be earthquakes would increase in the last days, and we see them taking place. We pray, Father, also for others suffering in the ravages of war. We pray for those in older age, those in sickness and injury. We pray, Father, especially for those who are suffering for thy name's sake. We give thanks for the freedom that we have and pray that thou would enable us to use this freedom while we have it to preach thy word, to hear and to believe thy word, to practice it, to give glory to thy name all through Christ. Amen. As we look at this narrative here of the Apostle Paul coming to Athens We could read in the verse prior before that, or the two verses, that Paul left Timothy and Silas behind, and that others conducted Paul and brought him to Athens. And then he gave a commandment that Silas and Timothy would come to him with all speed. And our narrative begins with Paul waiting for them at Athens. And while he was waiting, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Athens was certainly a place of learning. We read here that there were those who spent their time in nothing else but to tell or to hear some new thing. But Paul, seeing them and seeing the idolatry in their midst, and we certainly ought to be able to tell that by that, that knowledge isn't always an answer, that there can be knowledge and idolatry, knowledge and foolishness, knowledge and wickedness. And that certainly seemed to be what was taking place here. Not only did Paul take note of what was taking place in Athens, but we read also he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons. Paul many times went to the synagogue. We can see that earlier in the beginning of this chapter when he went to Thessalonica. In verse 2 of the 17th chapter, we read, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." There was a synagogue there in that Gentile city, as there were in many of the Gentile cities. And often Paul would go to the synagogue first. And we have the same thing here in Athens as in Thessalonica, that he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews. Sadly, the Jews, who should have known the Word of God, who should have known the gospel, had to be instructed as well as these Athenians, these Gentile people. And we need to ask today, what is the message needed, both in the church and in the world? That is often my prayer, that God will give both. We have both in our country, we have both in other nations, the church and the world. And sadly, oft times, the church is as ignorant as the world. And evidently, that was what was taking place here in Athens, that Paul had to dispute in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons. Yes, the Athenians had knowledge. The Jews were describing as devout. They were religious. If we think of going back to the second chapter of the book of Acts, we find there that on the day of Pentecost, there were many devout Jews there at Jerusalem from many different nations. They had come there to worship. They were devout, but wicked. That would seem like a contradiction. We say a devout person. We would think of him as religiously right. But Peter had to say on the day of Pentecost to those devout Jews, "You with wicked hands have crucified Jesus of Nazareth." And then he could tell them, "But God raised him up." The resurrection message was there, and it was needed. And it's needed again today. It is needed historically, where it may not be known, as it was here in Athens. The last verse we read, "And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' To them, the resurrection was foolishness." It was a joke. They mocked, laughed about it, evidently. But it is that by which God saves us. It is part of the gospel message. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul told them that he had preached to them the gospel. And he said, "By which you are saved, unless you have believed in vain." And then he told them what that gospel was. that Christ died for our sins. Sins. Our sins. Jew and Gentile. In the synagogue, in Athens, in this country, in the church, and in the world. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then He rose again. First He was buried, then He rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures, according to what God ordered to be written about Christ. Yes, that is the message of the Scripture, the message of the Bible, the message from God and His Holy Word. The message that Christ died for our sins, that He rose again from the dead. And that was what Paul was preaching here. We can see many things that stand out in these words that we read from verse 16 through the 32nd verse. We can see, as we already pointed out, His Spirit was stirred in Him in verse 16. Then in verse 17, we see Him disputing in the synagogue with the Jews, having to sadly argue with them. Certainly, for the most part, they did not believe that the Lord Jesus was the promised Messiah, that He had come and died for them. And certainly one of the reasons they would not look into this was evidently that they didn't know they were sinners. They were described as going about to establish their own righteousness. They often looked at the Gentiles as sinners, but not themselves. And we can certainly have that problem in the church as well, that we may think that we are God's children, that we are right, because we do right things. We are in the church. And often we take for granted that these outward things, these different circumstances, make up the reason why we can be called Christians. We can rightly be called church members if we are a member of any church, any place, any denomination, or even any building, any gathering together that's called a church. We can have our membership on the rolls. And we can say, I'm a church member. Well, what does that mean? It does not mean that we're Christians. And it does not mean, above all, and I should really put the two together, because Christians are those who are saved and follow Christ. But we need to think of, again, the message of Paul in Corinthians, by which you are saved. Saved. Why was His Spirit stirred up when we read here? He saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Certainly one of the reasons was that God was dishonored. That would bother Paul. But we can also think of other reasons. Paul called them, as he said further in that chapter, that God command all men everywhere to repent. That was part of his message. When he is accused here of being brought to Hierapolis, he's saying, may we know thy new doctrine, whereof thou speakest, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. They, in verse 18, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. By that we know he preached the gospel. By that we know that he preached the person and what he did. And certainly when he preached the resurrection, he would also preach his death. We are not told the complete message in every phrase, every statement. Here we see that he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Later we read that the message of God was that he commanded all men everywhere to repent. We can't take any one of those separately. If a man doesn't repent, doesn't come to agreement with God, his believing will not be a saving of the soul. It will not be by which, as Paul said to the Corinthians, by which you are saved, unless you have believed in vain. And without repentance, it will be a believing in vain. It will be a believing in emptiness. It may believe the historic fact, but not the fact that Christ died for our sins. And know that from our own realization of our sin. And that's often, sadly, missing in the church, as it was to the Jews. And evidently missing here when Paul had to dispute with them in the synagogue, in the place where they should have believed and where they should have been teaching these Athenians, as Paul was now doing. Paul had to begin in that place of scriptural knowledge and dispute with them. What a sad fact. And what a sad fact it is today. I can remember a few years ago reading about some of our senators in our United States Congress that wrote to their church that they were teaching the wrong thing, that they were teaching against what they believed and what they needed to practice, what this country needed to understand. Part of it was that they were siding with the communists who were atheistic, but part of it was also liberal doctrine that gave no answer to the need in this nation, the need that has to come to the church and to the rest of the nation, to the world. And that message is, as Paul preached it, and as he could say to the church at Ephesus, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see that Paul was preaching that in the synagogue, and as he saw these Athenians gather together. And in verse 22 we read, then stood Paul in the midst of Mars Hill. Stood amidst these most learned people probably in the world at that time. The people at Athens were always known for their knowledge, and we can see that in secular history. But he said to them, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And then he came back to something that is very essential. That is the beginning of what we read in our Holy Scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Paul was not ashamed to say that here at Athens, the place of learning. He was not ashamed to say that here on Mars Hill to these people and tell them, God that made the world and all things therein, he made it. Nothing came of itself. It did not come by the process of evolution. That is a theory, and that is also a lie. Either this is a lie, what Paul said here, or the theory of evolution is a lie. And there are many that would tell people, and I've read of it yet today, or college professors, sadly some even in what are called church colleges, sadly church seminaries, that do not want to believe this. They believe the way of the world. But here was Paul, God that made the world and all things therein. That's it. That's truth. That has to be said in our country. Again, we are sadly in the place where we in many ways are as ignorant as these people were. God is more and more an unknown God. We may carry on because of our background, because of our history, that we have known this, and we still name the name of God. We still have the facts of Scripture. These Athenians probably never had that. They probably knew somewhat what the Jews believed, but the Jews probably stayed by themselves. Were in our country especially, this has been known throughout the nation, and we have sadly come away from it, like many of the Jews did throughout their history. They would leave the faith of their fathers. They would go away from God. They were to go away from what had been taught rightly. Just like we read in the time of Joshua, there arose another generation which knew not the Lord. And it was a sad time. And we can read that throughout all of the history of Israel. And it was evidently true here at this time with Paul. But here Paul had to say to these Athenians that God was the God of creation. And he was a God of not only that made the world and all things therein, he said he is Lord of heaven and earth. And that also is true. He is the Lord of the heavens. Everything that is in the heavens are in God's order. That's why we have so wonderfully, so faithfully, seed time and harvest. We have winter, spring, summer, fall. All of those seasons are given by God. The sun, the moon, the stars are created by Him. And they are, as He said, for times, for seasons. All of it is in God's perfect order, His wonderful way. Even as the psalmist could say, the heavens declare the glory of God. It is to the glory of God that these things are there. They speak of it to us. They declare. Paul could also, in another way, declare that God made the world and all things therein. He also stated to them that, verse 28, our time is going swiftly. We can't touch everything here. For in Him we live and move and have our being. It's not just that God made the world and then left it. Some of our forefathers who were deists believe that God may have created, but He left it sort of to itself. But that is not true. It's very plainly stated here, for in Him, in God, you and I live. Paul and the Athenians, Paul and the Jews, all lived in God. For in Him we live. Our life comes from Him. And move. We couldn't move if it wasn't for God. If God would leave us, we would be dead. We'd drop dead. We could be rendered sick. Or we could become injured. We are kept by God. It is in Him that we live and move and have our being. And then we come to this place that I want to leave you with. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Paul, knowing this, said to the Corinthians, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But it is not what we do, that's the answer. The answer is what Christ did. He died for our sins. He rose again for our justification. Oh, do you believe it?
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.